Good morning.
Welcome to the children's meeting. Does anybody have a song that they'd like to start with? On the back of the hymn sheet, we have children's hymns and choruses that we can choose from this morning. Do you have one this morning? What number?
44.
Number 44.
Where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has sold it to me.
Okay, who else? Raise your hand.
Number three.
Which one?
Number three.
Number three.
There's still some room up here in the second row. Come on up.
Okay, we'd love to have everybody like to come up close to the front. Number three.
Amen.
38, number 38. My God. Nice. That hymn has to do with what's on my heart today. You had your hand up. Did you have a song?
Number 8.
Number 8? Thank you.
Amen.
Let's close our eyes and look to the Lord for his help this morning. Our God and Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here to have thy word open before us, and we just thank thee for each one of these young ones that we see here this morning. We thank thee for their bright, happy faces and their sweet voices as they sing songs of thy beloved Son, and we just pray for their souls. We pray that as they grow up, and that they would recognize their need of a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would come to know him as their Savior while they're young. We ask for thy help this morning as we say our verses and as we open thy word and speak about it. We just pray that thy Spirit would have liberty to work, and just commit the time to thee and ask for thy blessing. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the verse this morning is in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. I'm not going to have the ability to ask everyone to say their verse this morning, but we'll give a few the opportunity to say their verse. And have a volunteer here, it looks like, that figure out how to, I think it might be on. Go ahead. Good job. Anybody else? Very good. I have another one down here. Very good. Do that too. Very good. Thank you. Nice to see so many ready volunteers. Very good. Proverbs. Very good. Thank you. Anybody on this side? Very good. Very good. There we go. Thank you. Very good. Well, I think that maybe, thank you very much for offering, but I don't know that we have time to have everyone say it. Thanks for learning it. And it's really important that every single one of you guys have committed this verse to your heart. Is this a verse that brings a smile to your face when you think about it? It's a solemn verse, isn't it? A very solemn verse. It's a warning that God gives us in His Word that we can't take tomorrow for granted. We have no idea what tomorrow will bring forth. We turn to James chapter 4. There's some more verses there that go along with this verse. James chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain? Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. So these verses remind us again that we have no promise of tomorrow. And that the Lord holds our very breath in His hand. You know, recently there have been many examples of this verse. And about a month ago, in the country of Nepal, there was an earthquake that struck, and in moments, entire sections of cities were reduced to dust, and 8,000 or more people are in eternity, instantly. That's solemn. About a week ago, down in Texas, there's a river called the Blanco River down there, and it's a very populated area, a lot of homes, especially vacation homes that are along the river there. And they had a thunderstorm, a significant one, and it started to rain in that general area very, very hard. And I can't remember the exact numbers of how much rain was coming down, but that river swelled at a rate of 223 cubic feet per second. Uncle Steve Hall would have to quantify that. I can't even comprehend what that is, but it rose 26 feet in 1 hour. And a lot of the people that lived along that river, their homes were washed away in that river. And when they went to bed that night, they had no idea that that rainstorm was going to be that significant. The last time that river had gotten a flood was in 1926, when it went up to 32 feet above its flood stage. This time it got to 44 feet very, very quickly. And so people were not ready. They had no idea that they were going to wake up in the middle of the night and there was going to be water in their house, and the next thing they knew, their house would be floating down the river. And so Scripture gives us a solemn warning that we do not have any assurance of tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So what that means is we need to have an assurance of eternity. We don't necessarily have any way to predict tomorrow. You know, there was a man that I read last week. He predicted that there was going to be an earthquake in California this last Friday. It never happened, thankfully. But there are a lot of people that think that they can predict what's going to happen the next day, or maybe they think that this will happen or that will happen. And Scripture says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And so, there's another verse that says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And that's what the Lord has given us. He has given us the opportunity right now to have our eternity secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first epistle of John, chapter 5, in verse 12, it says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so though we can't boast of tomorrow, we can know with assurance that our eternity is secure if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that is an imperative. If we cannot know for sure what is going to happen tomorrow, We need to know where we're going to go for eternity. You know, I work in the fire service. I come into contact with people every day that have, they, for the first time in their entire life, they are suddenly faced with the thought, like the thought occurs to them for the very first time, that they may not see tomorrow. It's a very solemn thing to see somebody. And it's amazing to me that there are so many people that have no realization of the fact that they could be in eternity at any time. We have a tendency to think that we're impervious to death. We have the thought that nothing can happen to me. The things that happen bad that we hear about in the news, they're happening to other people, and therefore we're okay. But the reality is, every single one of us have a heart that can stop. And we need to recognize the fact that our breath is held in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know Him as our Savior. So when I talk about these things, it's a solemn message, isn't it? But what I really had on my heart this morning was, first of all, every single person here needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You need to have the assurance of eternity, since we cannot boast of tomorrow. And as I sit here and look at each one of these faces of these children in the front row here, it fills my heart to see so many. And yet, I hope that every single one of you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, so you know where you're going to go if the Lord calls you from this scene. But with all that said, I don't want the message this morning to be so much maybe a negative side of things as to be afraid. I don't want you to be afraid. Does the Lord Jesus want us to be afraid? I'm going to ask you that question. Does anybody here think that the Lord Jesus wants us to be afraid? Does anybody remember what the first verse of John chapter 14, the chapter that we took up in the reading at this conference, does anybody remember what that very first verse says and who said it? Anybody remember? Here, hang on just a sec. Very good. Thank you. Yeah. And there's another verse just a little bit later in the chapter that says the same thing again: let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord doesn't want us to go around worried about tomorrow and what can happen. He loves us enough to tell us in another verse that says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He wants us to rest in the fact that He loves us, and we can be assured that He's watching over us in every single thing that we do. You know, I'm going to tell a story. And it's a story that I don't like to tell stories about myself, okay? But this story I enjoy telling because it gives the example of what we're talking about, of the Lord's care over us. About 13 years ago, I was at work, and I was on a medic unit with another man and at the fire department, and we got a call for a structure fire. And my partner and I responded to the address, and there was smoke. We could see smoke as we were driving there. We could see smoke coming up above the trees, so we knew that there was an actual fire. And we were the first ones to get there. But on the medic unit, we don't carry hose or water or anything. We just carry the equipment that we have to be able to go in to the fire. And so we got there, and we got all our equipment on, and another engine arrived that had all the hose and the water. And we were ready to go. And so we were assigned to go in and attack the fire. And the fire, as we were looking at the house, the fire was in the back kitchen, which was in the very back corner of the house. Okay, we could see fire coming out of a window over there. And so we knew that that was the general area of the house that we were going to need to go. And so we went to the front door with our hose and opened the door. And there was smoke all the way to the floor. And it was a brown, nasty smoke that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. But we knew the general area that the fire was. And so I took the nozzle and went into the smoke and went to the right and followed the wall down to the right, knowing that if I followed that wall, then I could hit another wall and move down, and eventually I'd find a doorway that would lead me into that back area of the house. And again, can't see anything. And it was hot in there. And I crawled down, and my partner was at the door feeding hose through the door. And I crawled down, found the next wall, and moved down that wall. And as I went down that wall, I expected to find an opening in that wall that would allow me to go through into the next room. And as I felt down the wall, I kept having my hose get tangled up in chairs and couches and things like that. And so I'd stop and pull some more hose and keep working my way down. And I couldn't find the opening in that wall. Couldn't find the doorway that I needed to find to get back into that back corner of the house. And being young and inexperienced and having a sense of urgency about us, we didn't pay as close of attention to the conditions as we should have. And thankfully, as I was in there working my way around, there was other people, other fire engines and things showing up out in the front of the building. And they noticed that the smoke started to change in the conditions. And the smoke started to push out the door much more forcefully. And the color changed in the smoke. I couldn't see any of that where I was. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. It was hot in there, and I knew that, but it wasn't overwhelmingly hot, and I was so focused on trying to find that back area that I wasn't paying as much of attention as I should have to what was going on around me. The people outside noticed, and they said, "Get out. You need to get out." And that's not what I wanted to hear, because I was so focused on trying to get back to that area that was on fire that I wasn't really happy about being told to turn around and come back out of the building, because I wanted to accomplish the job. I wanted to extinguish the fire. So I turned around and started coming back out, crawling, pulling my hose along with me. And it kept tangling up on those couches and stuff again. And I kept having to move the furniture out of the way to bring the hose, because we're trained and we never leave our equipment in the building because it would be destroyed. And so as I'm working my way back out, my partner at the door is starting to get frantic, and he's yelling in the door, "Tim, get out now." And so I said, "I'm working on it." Trying to pull my hose back, and it's catching on all the chairs. And as I was crawling down the wall, it had what's called wainscoting on the wall. It's like paneling that's made out of highly varnished wood. And as I was crawling, there was a big plate glass living room window right there, and that window broke out. And through the little bit of light that came through that window, I noticed that the paneling on the wall was starting to smoke. That's really bad. It's a really bad sign. And so I kind of accelerated a little bit down that wall, and as I turned the corner to crawl out the door, there was this whoom sound, and the entire inside of the house ignited. The entire thing. And the flames shot out the front door over the top of my head and out through the porch and up on the other side just as I crawled out the front door. Had I been 10 seconds later or less, I would have been incinerated as it ignited. It's an unsurvivable condition called a flashover. And I tell that story, it doesn't speak very well of me, but it speaks of my Savior looking out for me. And I want to read a few verses about that. The first one is in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 30. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 30, it says, "The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you." Verse 31, "And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, and all the way that ye went until ye came unto this place." You know, the Lord cares about us very deeply. And He, more than we know, watches over us and provides for our safety. I tell that story because it's one of those stories that I will remember for the rest of my life, of the Lord's loving care of me. And I'm sure everyone in this room, especially the older ones, have stories that they could tell of the Lord's tender, loving care of them. And so, though we have this verse that gives us a solemn warning that says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth," we can also, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can know that He's watching over us. And He's bearing us as a man doth bear his son. And He's carrying us on this way. And as we're in this wilderness, we have the blessing of seeing how the Lord carries us through these times. You know, in Romans chapter 8, there's another verse there. Romans 8 and verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And down to verse 31, it says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" So that's the message that I wanted to make sure that we presented this morning, was the fact that there is no reason for us to be afraid of tomorrow. And the Lord doesn't want us to be afraid of tomorrow. He said in John 14 twice, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, I better turn to it so I don't misquote it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says in verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And so the message that we have this morning is that you would recognize the love of God for you, and you would rest in that love. And you would have a peace that passeth all understanding, knowing that though you cannot boast of tomorrow, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can rest in assurance of eternity and recognize that in His love He will carry you on the way. Let's just commend ourselves. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for the solemn warning that we have in the verse this morning. And we just trust that there would be none in this room that have not yet come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We just pray that they would be exercised as to the warning that Thou hast given, and that they would turn to Thee before it's too late. We thank Thee, too, for the message of love. We thank Thee that Thou hast carried us through this way, recognizing our dependence upon Thee and our need of Thy tender, loving care. And we just pray that each one of these little ones would come into the knowledge of Thy love and have the peace that's associated with recognizing that Thou art carrying them every step of their way. And so we just commit the rest of the day to Thee, and we thank Thee for Thy goodness to us, our God and Father. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.